You realize over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking back before Father's Day, of course. We have looked at the adversary and the conflict of the ages as it relates to terrorism and the larger conflict of the universe. The questions that are asked, who is God? Whose is the land? And the fact that the conflict that we find ourselves involved in is much bigger and more universal than most people think. It started in the heavens. And we saw that even the term the Lord of Hosts is pretty much a military term. So there's something big going on. And it behooves us to understand what that might be. The conflict involves two great powers. One, the mystery of godliness, and two, the mystery of iniquity. Unfortunately, today, during this time that we understand as the ages, we live under and in a satanic system that is dominated by the mystery of iniquity. And it's as a result of God's patience and, of course, the iniquity of Satan. The system under which we find ourselves is wholly evil. Here, Satan has great power and authority. During this time called the ages, he operates more or less as a governor or a president during that time frame. His modus operandi is what? Lust of the flesh. The system thrives on greed. The system hates you. More and more, that is the case, and you see it politically today. As you see churches, for example, I just learned in the Soviet Union, the Jehovah's Witnesses have been banned totally in the Soviet Union. And you see more and more restraints put on churches and Christian principles and Christian organizations, even in the United States today. But thankfully, it is in the long run, this mystery of iniquity is impotent. And at the present time has no authority in heavenly places. It's only here on earth during this time that we know as the ages. He, the mystery of iniquity, is limited to this age, and he is referred to as what? The prince of the power of the air. That's the time we're in. He is involved in this. The prince of the power of the air. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. It is important to realize this, what actually is going on. It's such a big picture, but most people never see the whole overall. One, because they don't understand the scripture. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul speaking to those of the time, Jews, Christian Jews, Gentiles, verse 2, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that is still going on today. This contrasts the two great powers that we talked about, the mystery of godliness. Look at verse 19 and 20 of that first chapter. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. There's the mystery of godliness. Christ seated there as a result of his victory over death, raised from the dead, taken to the Father, and there he is. On the other hand, the mystery of iniquity, as you see there in verse 2 of the second chapter, which we read, the prince of the power of the air. Satan's limitation is expressed. So, the good news is this. Only in disobedience can he operate. Those that are united with Christ and are seated with Christ there in the heavens as a result of belief are untouchable because Satan has no authority in heavenly places. Look at verse 21. We just read, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This begins to set apart and show you this conflict that goes on. He cannot even go where you are seated with Christ ultimately. He is limited to what? The age. The prince of the power of the air. Why? He's cast out up there, and he operates here with what? A third of those angels that left with him. So this is the big picture of that which is going on. Colossians puts the matter beyond all doubt. Turn in your Bibles over to Colossians chapter 1, page 1782. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13 tells us where we are. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Satan has no authority over us. Even John, who did not write for the one body, taught the same kind of thing for the Christian before the one body was even mentioned in Scripture. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, page 1877. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 and verse 19. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, some might say, well, what do you mean, he sinneth not? Well, you're covered in righteousness. Once you accept and believe, anything shortcomings, I'm not perfect. I can't be in this old man. But in the new man in Christ, I don't sin. I'm seated with the Father. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So, Satan today is met without moving a finger because of the finished work of Christ. The new man, you don't need to worry about. We have no need to pray. What? Deliver us from evil. The common prayer that you hear. We don't have a need to do that. We have been delivered already from evil. Now, Peter could say to the dispersion, your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this is not even his salvation. At that time, back then, what was it? It was stopping the restoration of Israel and the setting up of the kingdom. And it stopped. I mean, Satan was successful in that. Now, were there Christian Jews in there who were saved? Yes. But he managed to stop the kingdom being set up and restored. But in the church of the one body, there's no possibility of this kind of thing. There's no demon possession. There's no satanic authority or stepping aside of God to allow attack. Like what? Like Job? The Lord stepped aside and allowed Satan to attack Job. You don't have to worry about that. That's not the case today. What we have in the body of Christ for the first time is a microcosm of the foreshadowing of the new creature, where God is all in all and Satan no longer even exists, as a matter of fact, ultimately destroyed totally. We, like him that sitteth in the heavens, can laugh. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 of Psalms chapter 2, page 723. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. And that's what I see happening today, politically and in other ways. As I mentioned there in the Soviet Union, the Jehovah's Witnesses have now been cast out. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And we can laugh along with him. Why? Because we are sitting there in the heavens in the new man in Christ, untouchable. All scripture that are taken to support the teaching that the devil still has authority over the mind and body of the saints are taken from scripture that deals with other dispensations, not the church of the one body, as revealed after Acts 28:28, when Paul writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Now, if this is true, and I think it is, if this is true, what is the need for the armor in Ephesians 6? Go there to Ephesians chapter 6, page 1770 in the Companion Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Armor, weapons indicate warfare. So what's the deal here? Who are the contestants? What is the nature of the contest? Where is the contest? Are all believers soldiers? Good questions, huh? Based on what we've seen elsewhere. Well, first, armor is not needed in heavenly places, nor is the contest there. It's not there for the new man. That victory's been won. The new man's been set. The church of the one body has its place. So, first thing we need to look at here is verse 12. Verse 12 in your Bible reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is not the best translation of that verse, and we've looked at it before. If you go to the original, you'll find that center part in parentheses. So the verse in the Hebrew, or in the Greek, either one actually, reads this way: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," then jump down because of the parentheses that starts after blood. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood," and the parentheses ends at the verse at the word "world." So, "we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but," now the parentheses, "against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." That's what we wrestle against. It's not against flesh and blood. There can be no warfare where Christ is. There is no spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan's been cast out of there. He's down here. There can be no warfare, therefore, against Christ. No one there to fight with. Satan is beneath our feet because we are potentially seated there with him. It is against the principalities, against the powers of this world, that the armor is necessary. How's it used? Well, first of all, there's not one word in that passage and the verses that follow that we didn't read. There's not one word in the passage that means warfare, conquest, or fighting. Only thing referred to there is standing, withstanding, enduring, wrestling, no weapon but Scripture. Truth sets you free. Only the work of Christ and Scripture terrifies Satan. That's what you have in this conflict where we stand today. And it's strange. Without this armor, we are not told to fight or resist, but told to do things like what? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, page 1812. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from those, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God preventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There's more to these initial verses than what you might think. In a great house, that's the heavenly places, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. The thinking there is not having done anything dishonorable. It's not having done anything that survives and creates honorableness. It's the difference between what? It's the difference between prize and a crown and just mere salvation. There's a difference. The prize and the crown is won. The salvation is as a result of Christ and his victory. And I think we saw that maybe with one of our lessons here recently, where Caleb was given an extra portion of the land by Joshua. Why? Because he did wholly what the Lord asked him to do. And that's somewhat the situation here. The snare of Satan is associated with the novice. Back up to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 6 of that third chapter. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride ye fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Every believer is not ready or does not put on this armor. There are Christians today who will not take advantage of this armor against that which we see today, this Satan. Just like every believer is not ready to teach. Not every believer is willing to take on this armor. And he's a novice when it comes to Scripture. So what does the Scripture teach? The Scriptures teach and study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Someone who can and is willing to take this armor and this advantage that's given to us. But it comes through understanding. It's not something that's just there. And why is it? It's because it has something to do with the prize and the crown, not salvation. An unskillful handler of the sword is hopelessly outclassed by Satan. If you don't understand what Paul teaches in these books that are written to us today, in the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, it has to do with using rather what Paul's teaching, the milk of the word. there's nothing wrong with the milk of the word. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Page 1830. Hebrews chapter 5, page 1830. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's a Christian. A lot of Christians today know nothing more than the milk, the baby food of the Word. What we're looking at here at the forum is the meat and potatoes. 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, just like back in the book of Numbers, where only certain men were allowed on the front lines of battle, so it is with the conflict here in Ephesians 6. There are those who are skillful in the word. There are those who take this that Paul's teaching to themselves. And it is this armor that gives you this protection while we live in this old body here on earth, until we are seated in the heavenlies with the new man, where we can never be touched totally because Satan and his compadres are not there. There are qualifications and prerequisites to the armor, or it does not work. What are they? Well, one, the absolute position of your understanding of grace. You can't be good enough. You have to depend on the fact that you believe that Christ died for your sins and the remission of sins. Grace in Christ. You have to have the attitude that you're accepted in the Beloved. Through what? Work? No, faith. That's how you are find yourself. Delivered out of the authority of darkness as a result. Translated into the kingdom of the Son, which is heavenly. Quickened, raised, seated with Christ. 2 Timothy 2:4. Turn back to 2 Timothy 2:4. 2 Timothy 2:4, page 1810. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Untangled from the affairs of life. That doesn't mean you don't have fun. It doesn't mean you don't have a job. It doesn't mean you seek to better yourself, to make money and whatever. But you're not tangled up in it to where that's the only thing, because the system... Don't forget, the system is wholly, what, satanic. It's based on greed. It's based on lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. You untangle yourself from that, and if you wear this armor that's spoken of there in Ephesians 6, it gives you the strength to do it. Must be strong in this grace and in the power of his might. Putting on the armor is putting on Christ and the foreshadowing of the new man that is seated above already. He who puts on the armor is the one who begins to work out that which has been worked in. What's been worked in? Ephesians 1:19. Let me read it to you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which he raised. We already read those verses. That's what's worked in. And having done all in those verses that we read there in chapter 6 of Ephesians, that having done all can also be translated to work out, as well as to that which is having done all. Consequently, we see those who do not understand this or take on this armor that's spoken of, we see them as novice attempting to gain victory instead of standing in the victory already there. What is that? Revival services over and over and over again. With what? Perfectly good information, the milk of the word. But over and over again, bake sales, pledge commitments, get out the crowd, growing the congregation, the number of people that are there. It's like God has shown them a donut, a big juicy donut, glazed donut, and all they see is the hole. That's what Satan has been able to do, particularly with what I describe as religion. No wonder there are so many shipwrecks of people that claim to be living in faith. And they are. They've taken on this word, the milk of the word, which is salvation. Christ died for the remission of sin. That's all great stuff. But they never become full grown because they do not take on what has been taught by Paul with regard to the church of the one body. And it comes through knowledge. We have position in Christ, it's worked in, and we have the responsibility to work it out by our taking on of the armor, setting ourselves aside from this world, and growing in the grace and the knowledge of Him. Three ways: study to work, study to grow, teach the word, pass it on to others, and stand fast against the greed of this world. The wiles of the devil, they are, it's not what you think. It's not demonism. It's not so much flesh. It has to do with religion. 14, there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, page 1766. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So much of what you have to battle against is religion. False concepts taught all the time in pulpits. It's your responsibility to understand this book, particularly what Paul wrote to the Church of the One Body. It's your responsibility to understand this, and that's the armor. And it's against religion. This is where to look for the adversary and his wiles. Unsound doctrine. And it's a shame. I hear it all the time on TBN and various. It makes me ill to see people so deceived by the teachings of things that are past. I can prove about anything with the Old Testament. You can find verses, but they have nothing to do with the Christian today in the Church of the One Body. Unsound doctrine, new isms by seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, gods, Allah, Islam, all of these things, false teachings, not dispensational. These wiles and the adversary are overcome not by fighting, but by what? By attaining to the measure of the new man. No longer children or babes, using the milk of the word. Putting off the lie, walking in the power of his might and with his armor, the word. So, in conclusion, let me say the adversary is Satan and his wiles. You are the combatant, the full-grown new man. The conflict revolves around truth. The object of the attack is to rob you of your what? Your salvation? No. To rob you of a prize or a crown, which sets you above in the heavenly calling, in God's purpose and plan. Is it necessarily better? No, it's different. Don't forget, the plan is a new heaven and a new earth. The nation of Israel, it will be the predominant in the new earth. The Church of the One Body, there will be predominant in the heavenly new heavens. Satan has no power over you, even in this satanic system, because your life is hidden in the secret places of the Most High. There is no thought of really having to accomplish a victory because it's already been done for you. You need to realize that. It makes life so much better. You sleep so much better. I try to be the best I can, but I'm not perfect. Ask Rosemary. But I'm forgiven. I'm seated on high. And thanks be unto him that give us this victory. And I finish with Romans chapter 7, verse 24. It says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that the victory is already in Christ Jesus, and I have an armor to protect me in the interim until I am there in the new man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again for the written word. And I continue to pray that you will open our eyes and our understanding, that we may truly understand your purposes for the ages and how we fit in, and that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray, the victor. Amen.